that where we stand right now in the Big Ten, if you do tuition and room and board, is that we're second?
Yes, only Penn State. 10 years ago, we were fourth behind Penn State, Michigan, and Michigan State. And now, 10 years later, we just have Penn State is only the only one higher.
So not to oversimplify things, but we're second on that, and we're, well, where's it on your graph? Fifth on faculty salaries?
Yeah, in that cluster, I mean, of Ohio State, Penn State, and Illinois.
So my sort of overall takeaway is that the pressure is really urgent on us to move on the cost reductions. That's what we have, that's what we really need to be focused on.
Absolutely.
Not on hurting faculty, but on other savings that have been identified that we can move on.
Very fundamental part of the recommendation, and it's still our job to get that done. Further questions or comments for Walt? One thing that President Hogan, you commented on, that one of the priorities for the foundation is endowing scholarships and trying to put an initiative in place to make sure that more support for students to fund tuition is going to become through an initiative to the foundation. Is that anything to add there?
That's right. We've been all the campuses, the chancellors, myself, and the foundation have been, you know, we're coming in on the close of our capital campaign. I think it's a year from this December, actually, we wrap it up. But this spring, to close out the campaign, we're starting a major initiative that will continue past the close of the campaign and will seek to raise millions of dollars into an endowment that would support scholarships, mostly but not exclusively for undergraduates, and mostly need-based scholarships going forward. And I think we'll be able to announce that sometime this spring. They're doing some studies now at the foundation about what a realistic target will be. But I think it'll be very, very successful, and it'll speak to this need of maintaining our accessibility as a public university.
Right.
Ed?
Yes?
In one of our prior board meetings, a question was raised about how much tuition would have to be to settle the constant heightening of tuition for the, you know, the guaranteed tuition. Did we ever look into that?
I yield to. Did you hear the question? Could you speak into the microphone?
At a prior meeting, I think our chairman raised the issue, how much would the tuition have to be for us not to constantly have to raise it every year? And was that ever figured out about, since we aren't getting the kind of state funds that we used to get, about what's the figure that tuition would have to be? Have we looked into that?
I'm not sure there's ever been a calculation of that. You gonna try that, Walter?
Well, I think I'm gonna, you know, try to answer it just on an annual basis. But the little, you know, the factoid that we had from last year is basically this undergraduate tuition. The increase just from the undergraduate tuition for that year was about $45 to $50 million was the increase in the, and you talked about, you know, what we're losing in state funds. We lost $45 million. So we basically, just that increase in the undergraduate tuition, that increase basically offset, you know, almost exactly the loss in state funding. So and that calculation clearly is going to move as these years roll out. And it's one of the open items, and the variable in the calculation is what is going to be the state appropriation, you know, to come up with that answer.
And I'd say there's very little appetite to raise tuition any faster than inflation.
I agree, and I think that's what Trustee Soto was referring to, because there was a reference to basically getting this thing tied back to some type of an appropriate rate of inflation.
I think inflation and whatever loss of revenue we have from the state. So.
But I think to Pam's comment, we can't depend upon the state to improve the revenue stream. And in defense of the tuition issue, we have to focus on the cost issue and focus significantly on it.
Yeah, I'm just trying to provide Walter with an outside cap of.
Yep. You know. Walter, any other presentations that you or your group want to make at this time? All right, great.
Well, Heather made her presentation, a mapping presentation, but that was on the.
That's later on. That's right.
Finance committee, so
I wonder if I could just make one comment. That when we talk about all of this, it's going to be very important to remember that our faculty and staff have not had compensation increases, and we just can't do that anymore.
Right.
It's just it's demoralizing, and we're starting to lose on all of our campuses some very, very good people. So the formula has to include reasonable, modest tuition increases. It has to include what is certainly going to be a decline in state funding. It has to include what we might need in resources to to offer a reasonable, not great, but reasonable compensation package. And then what we can save through an aggressive pursuit of our cost-saving measures. And it's a hard formula to fill in because you don't always know when you're making these decisions. Some of those things are left blank, but that's what we have to take into consideration.
Your comment's well taken, and you've made that point before, and I appreciate that. And I know in the preliminary budget, Walt, that you're working on is a consideration for that issue as a part of it. So thanks for reinforcing that again. Mr. Chairman, that will be the conclusion of another brief Budget Audit Financial Facilities Committee meeting.
Thank you, Ed. Good to have you at the helm. So I think we're going to return now to the scheduled agenda and maybe ask Harry to address sustainability in
Mr. Chairman.
Springfield campus.
I just wanted to mention that as the junior interim chancellor, I think it's entirely right and proper that I would follow the senior interim chancellor in my report. Wonderful colleague, Bob Easter. Also, Mr. Chairman, if I could just take a minute to make a comment about the art panel presentation. One of the panelists made a comment that it can happen that the set-asides for art can create a sculpture or an installation that defines an institution or a campus, in our case. And that's certainly been the case at UIS. The construction of the colonnade at UIS with set-aside funds accomplished just that. It is the symbol, it is the emblem of UIS in a lot of ways. Now, turning to the sustainability report, I had the opportunity to address the board in 2007 on sustainability and energy issues at UIS. And at that time, I divided my report into a section on facilities, a discussion of instruction, and then outreach. And I want to follow the same format for my comments this morning, briefly. But before I get into those three areas, I want to mention some general issues, some general developments that have occurred on the campus. In 2007, UIS created an Office of Sustainability and located that with our Associate Chancellor for Administrative Affairs, Dave Barrows. And in so doing, Mr. Barrows was designated as the lead administrator for energy conservation and sustainability efforts. In that role, he serves as the administrative liaison to the Committee on Sustainability, a campus senate committee that was created in 2008. Also in 2008, the UIS Energy Task Force, which was the predecessor to the Sustainability Committee, issued an energy report that was distributed with analyses of energy consumption goals and recommendations. The report has guided subsequent sustainability efforts. And I'm able to say that last year, in terms of the FY10 budget, our energy expenditures were 10% under budget. And that proved very useful for us. The savings there helped us meet the 16% budget set-aside goal, you know, the goal that each of the campuses has to prepare for a rescission or reduction from the state of Illinois. And it also enabled us to keep cuts away from our core activities, so very important. UIS also, in this intervening period of the past 3 years, benefited greatly from the energy audits that were part of the University Energy Task Force that was chaired by Provost Tanner and former Provost Kategi, which issued his report in October 2009. And I have to say that UIS alone would not have been able to afford an audit at the level of depth that was provided in the Energy Task Force, so I really do appreciate that. And then also recently, UIS has joined UIC and UIUC in signing on to the President's Climate Commitment, and we look to making progress with establishing goals the way that Chancellor Easter described has occurred at UIUC. Now, in terms of facilities then, in 2007, I noted plans to construct a new residence hall with a green roof, Founders Hall. And that residence hall has been completed and has garnered significant attention in the Springfield community. Great photo, large photo in the Springfield Journal Register when the building was opened. Mr. Barrow's on the roof with all that sedum there that saves energy. At that time, we also talked about plans to build a highly energy efficient field station on the Nature Conservancy's Emequon Preserve. That building has since been completed and serves not only as a base for research on floodplain restoration, but also, and appropriately enough, as a model for green construction. Additionally, in the past couple of years, the campus has adopted a formal policy requiring the purchase of Energy Star products, installed LED lighting on campus walkways as a test of that technology, raised the default summer thermostat settings to 74 degrees and lowered the winter settings to 70 degrees, and nearly universally has replaced all incandescent lighting with high efficiency electronically ballasted fluorescent or compact fluorescent lighting. With the deferred maintenance funds that were made available through the COPS funding and also the AFMFA, we were able to carry out a very significant energy improvement project at the Brookins Library, our oldest permanent building, in which we replaced single pane windows with double pane windows and no longer have snow accumulating on the inside of the hallways on the second floor of Brookins Library. A big improvement. We also used water-saving devices for all faucets and flush valves in all new construction. So those are some of the recent activities and improvements in the facilities area. Turning to instruction, among the items I mentioned in the last report were our master's degrees in environmental science and environmental studies. Now, this is Professor Ting's department, and we all know the energy that she brings to her work on governance. You can only imagine the energy she brings to her work in teaching and refining the curriculum in her very own department. These programs, environmental science, environmental studies degrees, are offered now both online and on ground. They educate professionals who will provide leadership in sustainability activities. I'm pleased to report that the enrollments in these programs have increased 62% in the past 5 years, and we now have 110 students enrolled in these majors. Also, just this fall, we added a science and the environment concentration to the undergraduate majors in biology and chemistry. And each year, the Fall Sustainability Week and Earth Day activity that we have in the spring provide opportunities for engaged learning about environmental issues. Now, I am very pleased to have the opportunity to follow up on a comment that Trustee Strobel made at the last board meeting about whether there's a relationship or a connection between students taking online or blended programs and the energy savings, and certainly there is. We now have, as people are aware, 17 fully online degree programs, but we also have 5 blended programs. And in the blended programs, we promise students who would otherwise be commuters that they can have a 50% reduction on their time commuting to campus through a combination of taking online courses, on-campus courses, or courses that are themselves blended. But out of the totality of that, we promise a 50% reduction in commuting. Now, that, of course, does help students avoid the purchase of and burning of large amounts of fuel and the attendant carbon dioxide emissions. A preliminary analysis by Professors Klingshern, Blomer, and Schroeder indicates that conservatively there's a 28% reduction in CO2 emissions from online enrollments of students who would otherwise be regional commuters to UIS. Now, turning to outreach, we're particularly proud of our students' accomplishments in reaching out to and being engaged with the City of Springfield and the State of Illinois on environmental issues. The Students Allied for a Greener Earth, the SAGE group,
is one of UIS's most active student organizations. Recently, they have cleaned trash from the Sangamon